Okay, last week we went through the Mishnah and tried to identify some of the principal issues of the first topic. So again, the first topic of the Masechta, which we've been discussing, is the din that Yibum, when it encounters another erva, is excluded. We don't apply Yibum in the context of another erva, meaning as opposed to the simple definition of Yibum. Yibum, of course, is the case where a brother dies without leaving any heirs, any children. So normally a sister-in-law, the wife of a brother, is an erva, chai bekrisis. Nonetheless, Torah says that under these unusual circumstances, the iser of eshes ach is suspended in favor of Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum. However, the Mishnah says, if coincidentally the candidate for Yibum is also another erva, in addition to eshes ach, in addition to being a sister-in-law, the wife of a brother, so then under those conditions there will be no Yibum, no chalitza, and not only that, but the co-wives of such a woman, in other words, if the deceased brother had more than one wife, one of whom was also one of the 15 arayos that we're speaking about, which we'll again go review in just a second. So then, not only is she excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, but her fellow wives, you know, it sounds funny to us, but her rival wives or co-wives are excluded as well. And if one of those co-wives ends up being in another pool of candidates for Yibum from a different brother, right, which sounds complicated, meaning if there are three brothers, let's say again, we'll use the mashal from last week, we have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, right? So let's say Reuven marries Shimon's daughter, his niece. Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, his niece. He's also married to two other women. Then Reuven dies, so Shimon, right, cannot be miyabim or choletz any of the three wives, because one of them is his daughter, and his daughter is an erva. So not only is his daughter excluded from Yibum, she's also excluded from Chalitza. Not only is his daughter excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, her exclusion, right, impacts the two other wives of Reuven. Ah. However, there's another brother, Levi, right, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So Levi is not the father or any other erva relationship with any of the three wives of Reuven. So he, in theory, can be miyabim or choletz any of the three. Let's say he decides to be miyabim, not the daughter, not his niece, the daughter of Shimon, but one of the other two first wives, one of the other two wives of Reuven. But he himself has two other wives, so his two wives, right, are now going to be co-wives with Reuven's, right, one of Reuven's wives, not the one who's the daughter of Shimon. And then Levi dies and doesn't leave any children, and once again Shimon, right, encounters a potential Yibum situation, except this time he doesn't face his daughter, he faces one of his daughter's co-wives from Reuven, together with two other co-wives of Levi, because now Levi has three wives, right? His two previous wives, and the one that he was miyabim from Reuven, who wasn't the daughter of Shimon. Clear? So that is called Tzaras Tzara. So we have Tzara and Tzaras Tzara. Anyways, the Mishnah tells us, we'll look at it just again very quickly for a second, that not only is there no chalitza for the erva, for the daughter of Shimon, right, who now encounters his daughter as a Yibum can, not only does he not have the obligation to do chalitza, the fact is that the other wives, the co-wives of his daughter, are excluded from Yibum chalitza, and not only that, those co-wives contaminate the next pool of Yibum candidates, right, if there is a third brother and he dies also without children. In other words, the tzara of Reuven, right, will disqualify the tzaros of Levi for Shimon. that's the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah says. So Chamesh Esrei Nashim, Potros Tzoroseim, Betzoros Tzoroseim, Minachalitza Minayibum, Ad Sofa Olam. That's what it means. Okay? The Elohein, and these are the 15 examples of Erva, right, that if coincidentally they together with Eshes Ach, right, fall together, that they have this exclusion, and they Elohein, Bito, these are all the cases of somebody who is permissible to be married to my brother, but is not permissible to be married to me. Bito, Bas Bito, Bas Bino, right? A daughter, grandchildren, Bas Ishto, my stepdaughter, meaning the daughter of my wife, Bas Bino, Bas Bita, or her, my wife's grandchildren, right? Chamosa, the Aim Chamosa, going up, as we'll see in a moment, right, a mother-in-law, her grandmother-in-law, Aim Chamiv, and a grandmother-in-law from the father-in-law's side, Achosa Meimo, or a sister from the mother's side, Achos Imo, or an aunt from the mother's side, Achos Ishto, the Eshes Achiv Meimo, the Eshes Achiv Shaloya Balamo, right, sticking out of this list very, as a very different kind of case, is the din of Eishes Achiv Shaloya Balama, which is a timing problem. We'll get to that in just a minute. Meaning, if you have somebody who, a brother who wasn't alive when the other brother was alive, so the Isur of Eishes Ach applies even when there are no children. The Kalaso and his daughter-in-law, Hare Elu, all these are the cases of Potros Tzoroseyan, the Tzoros Tzoroseyan, Min HaChalitza, Min HaYibum, Ad Sof HaOlam. And then the Mishnah elaborates these dinim. And we went through the whole Mishnah last time, so we don't need to go through it again. But we know the basic idea, which is that Erva, in a nutshell, if we had to right, define what the Mishnah is telling us, a very long Mishnah, a Mishnah which takes a whole daf, basically. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that Erva, other than the case of Yibum, which is Eshes Ach, any other coincidental Erva is excluded from Yibum, is excluded from Chalitza, right? Excludes Tzoros, excludes Tzoros, Tzoros as well. And then there's one other line that's very important in the Mishnah, and that is V'kula nemesu omiyan ronis garshu oshininsu ailanus tzoroseyan mutaros. However, if there is a potential erva relationship with a brother, a brother's wives, and that is neutralized before he dies, in other words, again, Reuven married three women, one of whom is the daughter of Shimon. And Reuven is going to end up dying, and Shimon is going to have to, you know, face three candidates for Yibum, one of which is his daughter. But what if his daughter is out of the picture before Reuven dies? Let's say Reuven divorced Shimon's daughter. That's a messy family situation, but let's say it happened. Or, tragically, Shimon's daughter died right before Reuven died. So by the time Reuven died, right, it's only past history that links the erva of Shimon to this Yibum story. Because, in fact, right now, b'poal, there is no erva obstacle. So the Mishnah says, indeed, there's no obstacle if either mekachtos, or divorce, or death, neutralizes the erva connection prior to the onset of the Yibum, then there is no problem whatsoever. And then the rest of the Mishnah just describes these dinim. So what we tried to show to begin with was that the halacha, every one of these halachos is an issue, but some more obviously than others. The halacha that, you know, a woman who herself is an erva to the yavam cannot be a candidate for yibum, that seems to be of all these dinim the most obvious. Right, as we'll see in the Gemara in a couple of minutes when we get to Gemara days. So even that's not so obvious, right? Or if it is obvious, why do we need a Gzeres HaKasav to teach it to us? Why not apply the din of Ase Dochalos Ase, right? And Ase thrusts aside another Alav. The Ein Ase Dochalos Ase Sheyesh Bo Karis. Okay. So we'll see that even the first halacha, which is implicit in our Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't actually say it. It assumes it. It's explicit in the Mishnah on Kaf Amud Aleph. We read it last week. Even that din, which is the most obvious of the dinim, isn't so obvious. There are people who are discussing why do we need a limud for it? Maybe it shouldn't really be true at all, because after all, if already Yibum is allowing you to marry your sister-in-law to Chai Bekrisus, so what's it, one Chai Bekrisus? What's the big deal? Two Chai Bekrisus? Three Chai Bekrisus? Apparently Yibum is an urgent enough imperative that it justifies rule-breaking. And once you're rule-breaking, so how do you know to stop at Eishes Av? And that goes to the question of the nature of this tension or this dialectic between Eishes Ach on the one hand and Yibum on the other. How unique is that? Or is it a typical Chai Bekrisus and we're just counting? So that's one issue. But the other issues in the Mishnah are far less obvious, meaning that there's no Yibum for an Erva because it's Chai Bekrisus. Oh, thank you so much. That seems to be obvious. But that there's no Chalitza for an Erva, that doesn't seem obvious. After all, the act of chalitza is not an act of iser for an erva. So why wouldn't you say that there's a chi of yibum, but of course you can't implement the yibum because that's chai bekrisus. But why not be obligated to do chalitza? So we'll get to that in a minute. That's the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph. The din of tsaras erva, that not only is she excluded, meaning your daughter or your daughter-in-law or your sister-in-law, whatever, but her co-wives as well, is certainly also not obvious at all. Right? Not only is it not obvious, but it's subject to debate. Beis Shammai in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph actually disagrees. Beis Shammai says that tsaros erva are candidates for Yibum and Chalitza. We would want to understand better why Beis Hillel is so convinced that Tsaras Erva is included with Erva in the exclusion, not only of Yibum, remember, but also of Chalitza. Because it's not obvious at all, and we'll have to discuss that more fully.
Aren't they linked? If there's no Yibum, why shouldn't there be Chalitza?
Well, we'll get to that. So that's what the Gemara ends up saying on Gimel Amud Aleph, but you probably know that or heard that. So, which is good. That shows, you know, you're a victim of your own advanced education. But what I'm saying is, why should that be true, and what are the implications of that? That's really what I'm asking. Is it so obvious that whenever there's no yibum, are there any exceptions to that rule? If so, when do we apply it and when don't we apply it? And what are the important, well, how do we understand that rule? That's one of the things I want to speak about tonight. I hope we'll get there, but That's a little shock of the tari of the Gemara here. That's, you're 100% right. That's the Gemara's conclusion. But I'm going to try to show it, but it wasn't the Havamina. What's the logic behind that? What's it based on? And are there exceptions? And how do we understand the exceptions? So that's issue number two. Issue number three is Tsaras Erva. Issue number four is Tsaras Erva. Now once you know Tsaras Erva, namely that the co-wives of the daughter of Shimon are excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, is it so obvious that we'll extend that to say, well, if there's a third brother and one of those other wives marries him through Yibum, and then he dies and he has two wives, that Shimon, right, is excluded from any of those three wives either? After all, he doesn't have an erva relationship with any of them, or not an intrinsic erva relationship. The only relationship, the only problem he has is that one of them was the tsaras erva of his daughter. Right? In Reuven's Yibum case. But we're not dealing with Reuven's Yibum anymore. We're now dealing with Levi's Yibum. So why, right? Even if you can explain Tsaras Erva, is it obvious? This is a big discussion, different to Makoros and the Gemara, certainly in the Rishonim, they debate this. Do you need a separate Makor? I'll show you a little bit inside in a minute. Once you know Tsaras Erva, do you need a makar to say not only tsaras erva, but tsaras erva ad sofa olam? Remember the Mishnah said ad sofa olam, meaning 100 brothers, you can have 100 times removed from the original problem and you're still going to have the impact of tsaras erva according to Beis Hillel. That's an amazing halacha. And then finally we had one more halacha, and that is the Mishnah on Chalpa ben Aleph, which tells us that sometimes erva, because it's excluded from Yibum, ends up being a kula. Meaning, what would happen in the following situation? A person, again, let's say you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Okay? So let's say Shimon is the middle brother, and you know the other brothers on the both sides of him are dying right and left, literally. Okay, so Reuven dies. One of Reuven's wives is a sister of one of Levi's wives. Okay, again, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are three brothers. Two of the brothers out of the three married sisters. Right, not so strange. So Reuven was married to one sister. Levi was married to another sister. Both of them die without children. And Shimon, the surviving brother, is now faced with two different sets of Yibum. Right? But each set of Yibum has a sister. So that's what Mishnah says on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, that normally that would be a problem and we wouldn't allow for Yibum, because that's called, each one is called Achos Zikukasa. Right? If you look at Reuven's, well, you know, group of wives, so one of them is Achos Zikukaso. One of them is the sister of somebody who he already has a Zika relationship with. Namely, one of Levi's wives is Zikuka to Shimon, and therefore the sister who's married to Reuven is Achos Zikukaso, and vice versa. Right? One of the sisters, namely the wife of Levi, shouldn't be a good candidate for Yibum because she is the sister of somebody who Shimon already has Zika with, namely the sister who's married to Reuven. So we should say about both of them that there's certainly no Yibum, because each one is Achos. You need Chalitza probably, because it's not Achos Ishto, but it's something a little less, namely Achos Zikukasa. Good. However, what happens if it just so happens that each one of these sisters, or at least one of the sisters, is also an erva to Shimon? Let's say, the sisters, right, are also a mother-in-law to Shimon. Shimon's mother-in-law, right, and her sister married Reuven and Levi. Can that happen?
Yes.
Absolutely. No? Of course it can, right? His mother-in-law, meaning his wife's mother, right, had a sister. One, and she, the mother-in-law, after she, you know, the father-in-law died, let's say, so the mother-in-law went off and married the son-in-law's brother, right? And her sister married the other brother. Oh, now, what's the situation? The situation is that Reuven and Levi die. Now, Reuven, the sister, right, there are two sisters, Levi's wife, Reuven's wife. Two sisters married two brothers. But one of those sisters is also the mother-in-law of Shimon. So normally, Shimon would be faced with these two sisters, each of whom creates a disqualification for Yibum, Achos Zikukaso. But since, in this case, one of the sisters is also his mother-in-law, so she can't be his wife ever. She's an erva. So the erva excludes her. And therefore, therefore the fact that she's also a sister to the other sister, namely the wife of Levi, right, becomes irrelevant because there's no Zika. Everybody understand? So that's a situation where the erva, instead of being an obstacle, ends up being a green light. Because normally you would have had a situation where these two.
There shouldn't be any green light. I mean, it's only if there is.
Sorry?
But I mean,
why can't there be a green light?
You know, what would be the
well, not a green light to.
You can't marry her.
Not a green light to be miyabim, the mother-in-law who's a sister. Since she's a mother-in-law and a sister, she's so excluded that she doesn't contaminate the other sister.
Free the other one up.
Yeah, the lady. The wife of Levi.
But is there a rationale?
Sure. She's not Achos Zikukaso
because
she doesn't have a Zika. She's not a candidate. She's so not a candidate that she doesn't contaminate her sister who's a candidate. if both of them are sisterly candidates,
each one is,
then each one is knocks out the other. But if one of them is so excluded that she's not a candidate, then the other one can be a candidate. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the basic idea that I want to explain here, and this is what I want to continue to look at, just one more second, is that there are two, broadly speaking, perspectives on the exclusion of Erva Nibum. One way to look at it is that the problem of Erva Nibum is an Iser problem, and basically an implementation problem. Meaning, the problem is that you have a candidate or candidates, right? That the Torah will not sanction, you know, where the Torah will not sanction the relationship. Why won't the Torah sanction the relationship? Because of the Iser. It's a law of Sheish Bakaris. And therefore, you cannot implement or execute Yibum. That's one way to look at it. But, on a certain other level, you might have thought, or you might say even, that there is Zika. Meaning the candidacy is there, you just can't execute it. That's one way to look at the problem in general now, of Erva in Yibum. And then, for example, why not, good, so you can't implement the Yibum, but why can't you do Chalitza, or why shouldn't you do Chalitza, there is Zika, unless you say what you're saying, which is that there's a separate din, that no Yibum, no Chalitza. And we'll get back to that, if that's really what the Gemara means. Right? Similarly, that it's a little more problematic, and you have to explain a little better why it is that in the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph, that when you have these two things together, Achos and Kukaso, and an Erva, so good, you can't do it, but who cares? Does that affect the Zika? Not necessarily. Right? And it's going to affect many other dinim as well. The other perspective is, the one that I'm trying to push a little more, is that when there is Erva, there's a hafka zika. You don't get off the ground. There's no candidacy. And that would explain better why achos and kukaso is not a problem, right, when you have the erva, because you're not a candidate. What's the idea of her not being a candidate, though? So this is what I would like to explain, and that is going back to our original idea, which is our two ways to look at Yibum. One way is that there's a mitzvah lachem lachem shem b'Yisrael, which allows you to override the Yisur of Eishes Hach. And we look at it that way. That's how we look at it. We basically acknowledge the irregularity. We acknowledge that we are trespassing on what normally are serious infractions and violations. But we're saying it's worthwhile, given the payoff of Yibum, Lahakim Lahakim Shem B'Yisrael. And that is consistent with this first perspective, which is, and when won't you apply Yibum then? When the price is too high. Right, when the counter pressure is too great. If it's not just Eishes Hach, but it's another Erva too, that second Iser is not as easily neutralized, either because it's the second one, or because it isn't structured in and built in, so the Torah didn't waive under these conditions. And therefore, even though there is Zika, there will be no Yibum. The other possibility is, the other perspective, the second shot is, that Yibum, right, isn't just a rule breaker. Yibum is a rule breaker, but it's a different, it's an ambitious issues of Kedushas Yibum. And the way we look at it is that if a brother dies and he has no children, instead of this being, you know, a terrible violation, it ends up being a chesed and a kiyum and issues. It's good for the brother, hopefully it's good also for her, right? Or at least it can be, and therefore it becomes a form of lechatchila ishus. Now, if that's true, that if the, but it also happens to be his daughter or his mother-in-law, that's not going to work. That's not going to work not only because of the iser involved, you can't overcome the maisa avera. It's not going to work because that whole svara doesn't apply anymore. To say that the sister-in-law, meaning the wife of my brother, in conditions of Yibum, is not an obstacle, but a mitzvah and a chiyuv, that's a very, very good thing to say. I think there's a lot of values for it. I think it's logically very appealing. But the second that you have a second erva, right, that's gone. Because that's coincidental. And that certainly, so if that's the case, if we take that second svara, what are we really saying? Not only that you can't overcome the Isur of Erva to accomplish Yibum when there's a second Erva. But that there's no Zika either. I mean, he says no candidacy, because the whole idea of Zika is Ishus. Zika the Ishus. But she's not an Ishus candidate. She's his mother-in-law, she's his daughter, she's his daughter-in-law, she's his sister-in-law. The other sister-in-law, meaning Achos Ishto, the sister of his wife. So if that's the case, so then we're not dealing with overcoming the Iser, right, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. We're talking about a whole different idea. We're talking about somebody who's just inappropriate as a marriage candidate. A sister-in-law, the wife of a brother when there are no children, is an appropriate marriage candidate. A daughter, a mother-in-law, a daughter-in-law, is always an inappropriate marriage candidate. But if it's the impropriety of the candidacy, then basically what we're saying is there's no Zika, which is much more than saying simply that you cannot implement Yibum. Then we can understand a more expansive application. These are the two approaches that we're going to be taking, and we're going to be seeing both in the Shakavataria of the Gemaras and the discussion of some of the Rishonim. Hopefully we'll be seeing that these are truly two perspectives, because they're critical in the whole concept. Just what is Yibum all about?
Okay. Is there any consideration about not with sorrows or anything, a woman who falls to Yibum and she's 90 years old, she'll never have children?
Yeah.
She had history.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Huh?
Is there any consideration of that?
Yeah,
well, this is a big machlokas. I mean, it's... Right, 100%. So, that there's a lot to say about that. We weren't able to do so much of the Hagdama topics because we only had like 2 weeks. But the Mishnah on Pei Tes, Omud Beis, I think, no, Ayin Tes and Beis, discusses the problem of Saris. There are two types of Sarises, right? Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. But the Mishnah Ayin Tes on the Beis, Amrav Yehoshua. Shemati sha'asaris cholitz v'cholitz l'ishto, v'asaris lo cholitz v'lo cholitz l'ishto. That's quite a Mishnah. He said, I have a Kabbalah, a Masorah, right? That a Saris is somebody who doesn't can't have children, doesn't have the sterile, doesn't have the children. So I heard that a Saris is cholitz, and that in two senses, meaning. The Saris is the deceased brother, right? So he never could have had children, right? Or the Saris is Liyah. Right? Either way, I heard one Shmua that said yes, and I heard another Shmua that said no. So what does it mean? So the Mishnah explains, the Ein LeFarish, I don't know what it means. So the Mishnah says the debate, Amar Bekiva, Ani Afarish, Sris Adam, Cholet, Zbecholtz Lishto, Shoysa Lo Shasa Kosher, Sris Chama, Lo Cholet, Zbecholtz Lishto, Ibnesha Loyla, Hoysa Lo Shasa Kosher. Rabbi Lazar Maloki, Sris Chama, Cholet, Zbecholtz Lishto, Shiesh Rufua, Sris Adam, Lo Cholet, Zbecholtz Lishto, Ibnesha Elo Rufua. So this is a fascinating argument, right? Rabbi Lazar says that if you were born a Saris, right, there is even there's Chalitza. Because it's potentially, medically, repairable. And Rabbi Akiva says exactly the opposite. Rabbi Akiva says, if there was a Shasa Kosher, if you weren't born a Saris, then even though now you're a Saris, there's Chalitza and Yibum. And if not, not. Nui Paschal like Rabbi Akiva. So this is a very important issue, right? Is there ever Yibum b'chalitza when there's no potential, or at least as present, there's no potential for children? That's one case. Zakena is another case. Again, I don't want to go into all of it because it's a topic in its own right. We'll get back to it a little bit. We'll get to Tosan Chafam Alan. Zakena is what you're talking about. She's too old to have children, or she has some medical condition. Islandess is this, a mekachtos a bit in the Ishas. But let's say he doesn't have mekachtos. Let's say he married her knowing she's an islandess. Right, what's the din of islandess then? Right? So these are all cases. Tosis on Chaf, Omer Aleph, just very, very briefly. Discusses the problem, we'll see soon, that Chai de Lavin, our Mishnah, we're talking about Erva of Chai de Krisis. The condition is not Tope, it's a real hardcore Erva. Let's say we're dealing with something in between, Chai de Lavin. Grusha Lekohen Gadol. I'm sorry, Grusha Lekohen. Amana Lekohen Gadol. That's Kiddushin is Tofes. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, the Kiddushin is Chal. You're not allowed to. Right? It's Chal Yilav. But the Kiddushin is Chal. So what about Yibum? So this is a very important issue. This is a Mishnah here in Chav and the Gemara. So the Gemara talks about, the Gemara ends up saying that Chal Yilav in Minat Torah, there is Yibum, but only be a Rishonah. L'hakim l'hakim shem v'Yisrael. Not be a Shniyah. Because it's Chayv Elav. Oh. So Tosfos here says, Yovo Aseh V'Yidchalos Aseh Hikshar Riva V'Perek Beis HaSanhedrin Kimedein Yisham Mitzaberes V'Bia Rishona. Then it's Kabbalah that, you know, the people, women don't get pregnant the first physical involvement. Kedom V'Sof Perek Dalet Achor L'Yisrael. Heich Tisyadeim V'Bia Rishona Leika Kama Shem V'Bia Shni Asira. So how do you ever get...
Can a Kohen Gadol marry his brother's wife?
That's a good question. Yeah, so we're going to discuss that. That's part of the mission and the discussion here.
Yeah,
we'll get to it. Kohen Gadol and Amana, the Gemara discusses whether there's a difference between Amana and Anasui, Amana and Harrison. That's the Gemara here. That's exactly the Gemara. We'll get to it. So the... that's the case of the Mishnah. Amana and the Kohen Gadol. This Mishnah, Kafam Al. Anyway, so the Tosa says... If you skip a little, see, V'omer Ri, everybody have it? The low kasha midi, the low binim shete ri ala kama shem, elo she yivama v'hayavam yu, ru'uyin la kama shem. The low me matina, nela ailanis v'saris she'en in ru'uyin leilad, le'olam. Avo di'a she'en chala, the saber ba, low me mati, kivin she'aisha, o hayavam, ru'uyin le'besof le'olid. The locane tichek tanim sevenes, and so. So this is a very important Tosas. Not all Rishonim agree with Tosas. Tosas says you see from the din of Saris and Islandis and so on that you don't really need an actual befoal potential lahakim lahakim shem b'Yisrael. You just need a gabra who is ra'ui laholid. Why? So I'll try to explain that. Maybe not today, but I'll try to get back to that. The other Rishonim disagree. They say it's difficult, it's unusual, right, to have a child from Bia Rishona, but it's still possible. Right, they go out of the way to maintain, at least, even if it's unlikely, that there's some remote possibility of Hakama Zera. According to the Bali Tos, according to the Riva, you have to explain that when the Psukim speak, L'hakam L'hakam Shem B'Yisrael, it doesn't mean literally... It means potentially, or it's a shiur in, you know, the people involved. And that truly needs more of an explanation, but we have one and we'll get to it. Okay. Let me just say, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I gather from what you said right at the beginning that the sequence of human doesn't really matter, because in the case of Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, what happens if Levi was in the Yavin, Reuben's wives? In that case,
what do you mean by the sequence? You mean the...
In the example that the Rav gave, you had Shimon, whose daughter was Levi's, was Reuven's
wife.
That can't happen.
Right.
But Levi could.
Right.
And the explanation was that the Tzara came about in the second...
Well, that's how the Tzara came out. I mean,
right.
The order...
But
I wasn't necessarily...
If Levi would have been Miabeng the wives of...
He did.
Then there was no Easter, there's no...
But he did.
Fine.
What do you mean if he had? He did.
No, he had Shimon. Shimon was...
No, Shimon couldn't.
Shimon couldn't.
And Levi did. I'm just trying to describe the case. The reason I emphasize Shimon is because I'm trying to emphasize the different perspectives.
Right.
But in fact, Levi did.
And there's no problem. Obviously.
There's no problem except that now if Levi dies... Now again, in terms of order, again, I don't want to get bogged down with this as well, but the all things being equal, there is a kedima of the oldest brother. There's a debate in the Rambam, between the Rambam and all the other Rishonim, whether it's the older brother, meaning hierarchically, you know, relatively, whoever's left, the older brother... has the initial obligation, or it's only the oldest brother. Ram holds it's only the oldest brother first, then everybody else is equal. The other Rishonim hold that whoever is older, but even that's a kedima, right? If somebody jumps the gun, that's a Mishnah later on. That's a Mishnah on Chav Dalid Amud Aleph. But the Mishnah says, if you want to look at it just for a second, mitzvah begadol yadim, right? Chav Dalid Amud Aleph, bim kidem hakatan zaka. Right, it's important to know. Then later on, the Mishnah has on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, has more details. What happens if he doesn't want to? The older one doesn't want to. That's mitzvah begadol yadim, again, same language. Right, the older brother has the kedima. Lo ratza, if he doesn't want to, then mahalchin al kol ha'achim. Lo ratza, they didn't want to. Chozer netzel gadol domri malach mitzvah o chalot so yadim. So there's a whole procedure. Right, I wasn't getting into that. I don't do Shimon's older, Shimon's not. It's the Rambam. It's not. I was just emphasizing the differences. Here, there's no option because there's an Arabic relationship. Okay, let's read the Gemara. Again, this is the issue that we're looking out for. We're trying to figure out what is the nature of the Petur Erva, what is the scope of the Petur Erva, what does it reflect about Yibum more generally. So what I want to do now, and it's a topic all over the place, let's just make a little bit of headway first, just in the Gemara. At least I want to get to through Gimel Amud Beis. That's the whole first section here. The way the first parak goes is you have the initial Gemara of Gimel Amud Beis, which is relevant to the Mishnah. Then you have a section of about three dapim just on the general question of Aseh Dokalos Aseh. So we're going to hopefully do that, but I don't want to get bogged down with that right now. So probably I'll go through Gimel Amud Beis, then I'll probably do a little bit on Dav Zayin and Dav Ches, because that's the real continuation. And then maybe we'll go back and catch up with the Aseh Dokalos Aseh. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. But this is what we're looking for. Mechti, the Gemara says. This is the Gemara base of the Mishnah. Mechti. So the Gemara starts off with a more technical question, the order of the 15 Arayos in the Mishnah. Right, the Gemara couldn't help itself. You have 15 Arayos in the Mishnah, right? Why are they in the order, that we find them? So Mechti. Kulu, the Gemara says, Me'achos Isha Yalfinan. All this din, that Erva, right, is excluded, and or maybe only that Tsaros Erva is excluded from Yibum, as we'll see in the Gemara of Gimel Amud Beis, which hopefully we'll get to, is derived from the case of Achos Isha. The source for that is the other sister-in-law, as I like to put it, because I think it's maybe significant, right? Not just a coincidence. The other sister-in-law, meaning there are two sisters-in-law, right? One is your brother's wife, is your sister-in-law. The other sister-in-law is your wife's sister. So the wife's sister is the makar in Parshas Arayos for the din that Saras Erba is excluded from Yibum. So if that's true, namely the Mishnah, the din of the Mishnah is based on the limud from Achos Isha. Shouldn't that have been the first case listed in the Mishnah? Mechti, kulu me'achos isha yalpinan. If everything is derived from your wife's sister, that's the source. So listni achos isha bereisha. Why not? Why shouldn't that be the first case? Bechitema, lest you say tana chumri nakat. So again, this is very logical. The Gemara says, what would be the reason for the order of 15 arayos, right in the Mishnah? How would you want to organize them? So you might have thought, one thought, which is what Gemara's question is, the source for the din and the Mishnah should go first. And why isn't it? So what's the alternative? But the organization is based on some other criterion. What criterion? The Chumrah, which is more Chumor as an Aveira. Right? So if that's true, so then we should take Rab Shimoni, maybe the author of the Mishnah is Rab Shimon, who believes the Omar Srefa Chamura. So we start off, it's Srefa of the Arba Mises Bezdin is the most severe of the punishments. So we should start with that, and that would explain, right, the Srefa cases. Iachi, though, if that's the case, if that's the thinking, then Lisni, Chamoso, Bereisha, then the first thing we should have had in the Mishnah is not what we do have, which is what? What's the first case? Bito is, right? Of the 15. Elaine, Bito. Right? First it's Bito, Bas, Pino. Right? Then Bas, Ishto, and so on. The one in the Torah that the Torah says explicitly is an onesh of Srefa is Chamoso. So that's what the Gemara says. Chitema lets you answer Tana Chumri Chumri Naka, that the Tana is operating on the basis of the more Chamor Onesh. The Rab Shimon he, the Omar Srefa Chamura. And it's Rab Shimon who thinks that Srefa is the more Chamor of the Arba Misos. Ihachi Lisni Chamoso Beresha. Right? The Ikar Srefa Bechamoso Ksiva. We have Limudim that extend Srefa, right, to a few other cases. But the source for Srefa explicitly in the Torah is Chamoso. So the first on the list, if the criterion had been Chomer, should have been Bito. But moreover, Basar Chamoso Lisni Kaloso. If the organization is based on Chumras Onesh, then Kaloso, his daughter-in-law, instead of being, what is it, the last one or the second last? The last one, right, the last on the list is his daughter-in-law. Instead of being the last on the list, she should have been towards the front of the class, because she also is Chaybe Misos Bezdin. The Basar Srefa, Skila, Chamura. Most of the cases in the Mishnah are Chayvei Krisos, right? Chayvei Misos Shamayim, not Chayvei Misos Bezin. You don't actually, you know, implement the death penalty in court. But Kaloso is one of the Chayvei Misos Bezin, and it's Skiva. So we should have had Chamoso and whatever else is Srefa, and then we should have had Kaloso. Instead, we start with Bito, right? And Kaloso is the last one. So what? What kind of system is the Mishnah using in its organizational structure? That's the Gemara's question. An innocent enough question. Is there anything to be derived from this kind of a Gemara? Well, we'll see. So the very next line is one of my favorites. Ella, the Gemara says, Bito, Kivin de Asa Midrasha, Chavivale. Meaning, Dafka, right? Bito is first because Bito, Rashi explains that Bito here means Bito me'anusasa. Let's say he fathers a child outside of marriage. So that, the source, that is an erva, right? And that Kiddushin is not chal, and so on. The extension, in other words, of Bito, a biological daughter who is not the daughter of my wife, who's not, you know, within the context of the marriage, that din is derived from a drasha. Okay, why do I say this is one of my favorite lines? Not because I'm particularly partial to Bito Me'anusasa per se, what I mean is, I like this line, Kivadasa Bidrasha Kabibale. Right, this is the Gemara says that things that are derived from Torah Shabbat Peh, right, are more endearing, more beloved. Right. Because the whole, you know, Mesorah basically is based on Torah Shabbat Peh. So the idea that there's a special, stature and a special affection that we have for, that we try to emphasize even more, Dinim of Torah Shabbat Peh, right, especially in the Masechta like Yevamos, which, you know, absent, so complicated, absent a Torah Shabbat Peh, you wouldn't have anything practically. I mean, you just have a few psukim and you wouldn't know what to make of it. There's nothing in Ibn Mechalitza practically that doesn't require extensive Torah Shabbat Peh. So I think it's just a very fine and nice idea that Kivin the Asim Midrasha, Kaliba. Anyways, the Gemara then says, Kulunami Midrasha Asu, what do you mean? The fact that Saras Erva of all of these is excluded from Yibum, that's also that all these are based on Midrasha, as we'll soon see in Dabdi Moment Days. Right? That's what Rashi, look at Rashi. Kulunami le'inyan p'tur Yibum Midrasha Asyan me'achos isha. We learn all of them from Achos isha. Again, it's interesting. The Gemara starts off with the idea that the first in the list should have been the one that's explicit, Mefurash Bakra. Right, there's some advantage to that also. We've spoken about that in the past too. Right? The Mefurash Bakra is special stature. And then the Gemara is saying, no, Dafka, of all of them, the one that's learned out from Midrasha is Chavivale. So the Gemara says, but with regard to Yibum, they're all learned out from Midrasha. So the Gemara says, Nehi, Talinin Yibum, Asim, Midrasha, Ikar Yisurayo, Behedja, Ksivbahu. Bito, Ikar Yisura Midrasha. While it's true that the application to Yibum, namely, that Saras, Erva, is excluded from Yibum, that din is a drasha with regard to everything, all the cases, but the status of Erva, which is a linchpin in that din, is explicit in Parshas Arayos, with the exception of Bito Me'anusasa, a Bito outside of marriage. And therefore, the Gemara is sticking with the idea that we begin with the Torah Sheba Peh de Chaviv Alei. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. Dama Rava, Amalir of Yitzhak Baravidimi, right? Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. Okay. So if you look at the Rashi explains very quickly. Asya Heina Heina, Li Isura, right? The Heina Heina teaches to be Isur of Bito Manusaso, Asya Zima Zima, Lisrefa. To Bito Be Ishto, as Rashi explains, a daughter. Right, within the context of marriage, the chain, baspito, baspino, or a granddaughter, right, either from the son or the daughter, yalfa me'ervas isho bita lo tegala. Pasuk says explicitly that even your stepdaughter, right, and your step-grandchildren, right, in other words, from your stepdaughter, the daughter of your stepdaughter, the daughter of your stepson, Even if they're not related to you biologically, even they are in the parsha of Erva, right? Varebita miishto beklal basishto. Therefore, your biological child with your wife, right, is not less than your stepdaughter. That if any child of your wife is an Erva, then the fact that she's also your biological child doesn't detract from that. And that's already included explicitly in the Torah's statement that Isha Ubita Lo Segala. Avobita Manusaso, but a child outside of marriage, right, Lo Bishtama, is not implied explicitly in the Pasuk. Tzid Ervas Isha, the Lashon Ishus, Dayide Kedushin Mashma, it says Ervas Isha, right, implying your wife. The Goli Rachmana bibas bito ubas bino manusaso v'haikra ervas bas bincha ubas bitcha. There's another pasuk which makes it pretty clear that your grandchild, meaning the daughter of your daughter, right, or the daughter of your son, right, when this son and daughter are produced outside of marriage, is also excluded. But and there, why is that implied in the pasuk? Because hacha loshon ishus lo ksiv be. It just says bas bincha bas bitcha. Doesn't say anything about isha. Akati bito lo ksiv. But the missing link, which is your biological daughter outside of the marriage, right? That is not explicitly spoken of in the parsha. Hacha, the alpina b'gzereshava, but we learn that from gzereshava, ksiv hacha, b'kra danusa, ki ervascha, heina, uksiv b'kra achrina, d'ishus, sh'era, heina, mahasam, bito, kibas bito, avkan, bito, kibas bito. It's a very strange limud in a way, meaning they think they need a limud. The Gemara discusses this in a few places, in priests, other places, right? Why not just say that if your grandchild, your granddaughter, you know, outside of the marriage, from the outside of the marriage, is the kavachomer. That's one thing. Ein onshin min adin, ein mazirin min adin. So it's a very fascinating thing. The point is that your biological daughter, right, who is not the product of you and your wife, right, that is learned out from a drasha that's not explicit in Parshas Arayos, and therefore Dafka the Mishnah wanted to accent the fact that Torah Sheba Peh is of equal stature to that of Torah Sheba Sav. That's the Chaviv Alei. Okay, that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara explains, Lisni la'achos isha l'besof, right? If you say, ma'ashtam, sorry, Da'amris, kol milsa da'asim b'drasha chaviv alei, if you really want to highlight, right, Torah Shebal Peh, in this Mishnah, so then Achos Isha, which is the explicit source, should have been the end of the list instead of somewhere in the middle of the list. So listen, Achos Isha l'bitzal. So the Gemara says, well, listen, we start with Bas because of this idea of Torah Shebal Peh. But Aydi Da'iri B'Yisrach Vasa, once we speak about sisterhood, meaning relationships through, right, a sister, so Tana Achos Ishto. Because once we start talking about your own sister, your sister from your mother, right, your mother's sister, so then we speak about your wife's sister as well. In other words, the organization starts with one theme, and then, you know, it develops kind of a life of its own. So the Gemara says, "V'le Tanya Lahai Baba L'Besof." Still, if you have to stick Achos Isha together with the other Achoses, right? So stick all the Achoses in the last group. So the Gemara says, "Ela Tana Kurvi Kurvi Nakat." The Tana really wants to teach you, right, from the closest relatives to the most distant. Therefore, Tana they begin with Bito Bas Bito Ubas Beno, the Krove Atzmo, because they are, right, organically or intrinsically, you know, they're not related to you through some other, you know, artificial, you know, relationship. You know, they're not through marriage of any, or anybody's marriage, not through your own marriage, not through your father's marriage, not through your uncle's marriage, not through your brother's marriage. These are people who are, you know, blood relatives, right? They're organically related to you. So that's how we begin. The Aydi D'Tana Shlosha Doros Lamata D'Day, once we start with the three generations, right, beneath, or the three cases beneath him that are organically connected, him, his daughter, his granddaughters, that's from his daughter and from his son. So Tana Nami Shlosha Doros Lamata D'Da. Once we're dealing with that whole line, so we speak not only of his relatives that are prohibited to him, but her relatives, meaning his wife's relatives, that are prohibited to him. Namely, his stepdaughter, his step-grandchild, right, step-granddaughter from the son, from the stepson and from the stepdaughter. The Aydi D'Tana Shlosha Doros Lamata D'Da. Once we're dealing with her, meaning his wife's, three cases, right, down. So then, Tana Shlosha Doros Lamala Dida. Then we start dealing with her mother, right, her grandmother, and, you know, the father-in-law's mother, right? The Tana, after that, after you deal with the, so you start with him, then you go below with her, then you go up with her, right, then you start going on the sides. That's the organization of the Mishnah. The Tana Akoso, then you speak about your sister, right? But it has to be a sister from his mother, because a sister from his father could not have been married to his brother. Right? So always remember that. So then Tana Akoso, his sister. The Achos Imo, his mother's sister, that's his aunt from his mother. The Krove Atzmo, because those two are direct relatives, because his mother isn't a artificial connection. His mother is his mother. Right? These are blood relatives, just from the maternal rather than the paternal side. The Aydi Da'iri B'Iser Achva. But once you're dealing with, right, the, you know, the horizontal, you know, Achva kind of issues, Tana Achos Ishto. That's when we get into his wife's sister. Oh, now here it gets a little tricky, and here's, in addition to this, the Shalkavatari, there's something interesting to talk about for a minute. Ubedinu to lekadma lekalaso mekame eishes achiv shelo haya ba'olam. Now, the end of the Mishnah is his sister-in-law, right? It's Achos Ishto, then it's, how does it go? Just one second. The last few are Achos Ishto, Eishes Achiv Me'imo, meaning his mother's son's wife. That's his, the wife of his brother from his mother. Correct? So we have his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, the wife of his brother from his mother. Then we have Eshes Achit Shelo Elo Balamo, which is from his father, a regular wife of his brother from his father, but they weren't alive at the same time. And then finally you have Kalaso, his daughter-in-law. Ah, so the Gemara says a really interesting thing, depending on how you read it. Ubedinhu, we would have thought, as it should have been, to Lekadme Lekalaso Mekame Eshes Achit Shelo Elo Balamo. Right, the daughter-in-law should have been before Eishes Achit Shelo Yabalamo, right? Delo Mishim Kurva Uda Asira, because Eishes Achit Shelo Yabalamo isn't really a kurva. The problem there, because from a kurva point of view, right, it's the same as Eishes. The Iser Erva is identical in Eishes Achit Shelo Yabalamo and an Eishes Achiv Shehayabalama. From a Vayikra point of view, meaning from a Parshas Arayas point of view, it's exactly the same Iser Erva. And it's Mutter and Yibum in Hayabalama, and it's Asur in Loyabalama. Right, so from that point of view, Kalaso should have come before Achiv Shehayabalama. The Lo Mishum Kurva Uda Asira. Ella Aidi Dairi Bi Isra Achva, but since we're talking about, right, the Isra of Achva, I mean, again, the previous ones were Achos Ishto, right, Eshes Achiv Me Imo, right? So since we have that, so then Tana Eshes Achiv Shelo Yabalamo. So since we're dealing with Achva, his wife's Achva, and then his two sisters-in-law that are not subject to Yibum, meaning the two wives of his brother, because one of his brothers, it's his brother from his mother, the other one is his brother who existed when he didn't exist in the world, Father Tanya Kalaso. That's the Gemara. Now, that's the first part of the Gemara. We'll get to the next thing in a minute. Just very briefly, so there's an interesting Ha'ara to be made here. Rashi says, what do you mean it should have been the other order? Look at the Rashi, Delav Mishim Kurba Huda Asar. Klomar. The Kivin de Krovin Nokat. Since they're dealing with relatives. The Kalaso, his daughter in law. The Eshes Achiv Shelo Yabalamo. The Eshes Achiv Meimo. Lav Mishim Kurba Didehu Da Asirin Le. His sister in law. The wife of his brother from his mother, and his daughter-in-law, says Rashi, are not direct krovim. So bedinu de lisni kalasa mekame eishes achiv shelo haya balamo. All these cases we're dealing with artificial ervas, erva through the sister. I'm sorry, erva through his wife, or erva through two of his brothers. Right, that are not subject to Yibum. His brother Meimo, and his brother Shelo Yabalamo. But in all three cases, we're dealing with women who he doesn't have a blood relationship with. It's a relationship, Agav, either his wife or his brother. So Rashi says, Umikame Eshes Achiv Meimo, therefore Nami, Mishum Kad de Kalaso Chamira Tve. Minayu, Bahabala the Minka Kumri, Kimalawatsa the Minka Kurvi. That's Rashi's addressing the following question. Why did the Gemara think that Kalaso, his daughter in law, should come before the two sisters in law, right? That also don't have evil. The sister in law, the wife of his brother from his mother, the sister in law, the wife of his brother, Shalaya Bolama. Well, why is Kalaso better? So Rashi's answer is because if they're all equal, there are all of them are artificial relationships, so then you might as well take the one which is more chamor in Onesh first, and Kalaso in Skila, the others are Karmis. Good answer. Oh. The Balei Tosfos say something a little different. Tosu says, Mikami Eisha Sakit Shalai Yabalamo. Everybody have it? Vehu Adin Mikami Eisha Sakit Neimo. Kalaso should have been not only before Eisha Sakit Shalai Yabalamo, right? It should have been before Eishes Achiv Me'imo as well. We're picking one, but it could have been either one. Did Travayu Lav Krove Atzmo Ninu Elayde Kiddushin? Since after all, both of them, so far like Rashi, are not intrinsically relatives. They're relatives, agav, some sort of Ishus. So he says, if that's the case, then Kala should be first. But not for Rashi's reason. Why did Rashi say Kala should be first? Because Marchamor in the Onish. Tosa says, the Kalaso Shehi Eishas B'no Krova Minayu Tzvei. Fascinating Rashi. Since these are all artificial Ishus, right? So one could have said, there's no level in artificial Ishus. They're all the same. Tosa says, not true. The connector will determine which is a closer erva. And since a son is a closer relationship than a brother, therefore a daughter-in-law, again, they're no nafkamina necessarily, but it's an interesting, conceptually, it's an interesting way to look at family relationships, right? Eishas b'no, krova mina yitzvei. Aval ein lo mardatka legad eishas achen shalo hayab olamo kalaso krova tzvei. Lefisha lo hayab olamo. Aval legad eishas achiv me'ima olo. So could there have been another svar? Could have said that with regard to Eishes, Achiv, Shaloh, Yabo, Lamo, so these people never shared anything. I mean, they never knew each other. But if you're talking about my sister-in-law, the wife of my brother from my mother, maybe she is closer to me, more of an erva, than my daughter-in-law. What would be the smart to say that? Why? Did the Eishes b'no iflag dara? There's a day in Bava Basra which says, with regard to Psule Edus, that even if you hold that a grandfather, right, is not Pasuli Edus, Abba da Abba, right, a nephew, Ben Achiv, will be Pasuli Edus. How could that be? A grandfather is structurally more direct in Zawi Paskin too than a nephew, than the son of a brother. So the Gemara says that the reason is because of Ispalig Dona, a generation gap. Meaning the grandfather, from a Kurva point of view, is closer. Right? But in terms of, it's a different dynamic. It's a different relationship. There's a generation gap. So the Gemara says, Linen Eidus, one day in the Gemara, Linen Eidus, the objective Kurba isn't Kobeya, right? The dynamic is Kobeya, and its Palagdora is a factor. But, says Tosis, Tal Korkach Linen Arayos, Eishes B'no, Krova Tzve Me'eshesach. That's true in Eidus, where you're worried about Sheker, and you're worried about relationships, maybe. But when it comes to Arayos, says Tosis, it's a very fascinating Tosis. That depends objectively on the she'er, on the relationships themselves. Shaben karada b'wahu tekachashu bito ubas bito krove atzmo te me'achoso. Even though you might have thought, just like a grandfather is technically a closer relative, but linyan edus, a nephew, is considered closer than a grandfather because of the generation gap. So too in the other direction, you might have thought that a daughter-in-law, right, you know, the daughter-in-law and the sister-in-law, right? So in terms of the connection, the son is a closer relative than a brother. But you spent 50 years or 100 years, you know, with the sister-in-law, with the brother and the sister-in-law, right? Quite a few, a generation less with the daughter-in-law. Moreover, there's the generation gap itself. Right? Maybe you, you know, with the sister-in-law, you could talk about, you know, the good nostalgic old days, you know, when, you know, the old neighborhood, you know, and the old shtetl, and photostats instead of Xeroxes. I'm thinking, basically, Xerox is now becoming a problem, too. The company is in trouble. So the, right? So from a generation gap point of view, you might have thought, maybe that should be Kobeya. Right? Kamash Malan, it's not. So it's fascinating, if you look at the Ramban, which we have here, and thank you for that. I'll still try to mail it to you. Get it on the... Remember. So the Ramban has a slightly different formulation, also very fascinating. Haki Garcinan, first one. V'chein benuschi atiki, in the old Niskos, in the Girso, bedinu de lekadmi lekaloso, mekame eishas hachin shaloya bolamo. The Girso, that exactly the same problem Tosis deals with. Tosis says, and Ramban said, the Girso is, oh, kaloso should have been before eishas hachin shaloya bolamo. And Tosa says, V'hu adin, it should have been also before Eishes Achiv Me'imo. Correct? And Tosa says, don't think that Eishes Achiv Me'imo is closer than Kalos. But the Ramban doesn't think that it's, you know, V'hu adin. So he says, V'chein benuska atiki, b'dinu de l'kadme l'kalos l'kam Eishes Achiv, shlo b'adam, d'lab mishum kur, v'hu, first we say your sister, then achos imo, right, your mother's sister, dekrove atzmo, because those are blood relatives. Then you get to the non-blood, blood brotherly sisterly relations, namely the sister-in-law, the sister of your wife. Klomar v'akadma mekame Eishes Achiv Me'imo, that is mentioned even before, right, your brother-in-law, your brother's wife from your mother. Mishum debikidushe atzmo mekarvale the dummy tve lekrove atzmo. An amazing line in the Ramban. Ramban says, why is your wife's, I mean, I hope this isn't going to cause problems, and, you know, but why is your sister's wife mentioned before your brother's... I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Why is your wife's sister mentioned... Why is your wife's sister mentioned before your brother's wife from the mother? It has to be from the mother, otherwise it would be a real... They're both sisters-in-law, right? The sister-in-law through your wife and the sister-in-law through your brother. So why is one mentioned before the other? So the Ramban says, because in a certain sense, you're closer to your wife's sister because you created that relationship. By marrying her, right, you created a kurva with her sister. That probably, hopefully, wasn't the motivation, right? But you did that, and therefore, in some respect, since it's your action, the dummy tzei lekrove atzmo. That's just an amazing line. Okay? And then he repeats it again. Tananami eishes achid me'imo, aval eishes achid shalo yabolam. It's another interesting line. Lo havale l'misne ba'adayu, v'lav mishim kurbon. Unlike Tosis, right, so he has a different take on that. He says, eishes achid shalo yabolamo just shouldn't be in the mix at all, because the problem there is a special bit of Yibum, and it has nothing to do with the Korva relationship. Right? Sorry, Eishes Achiv Shaloya Balamo, right? Krova Mizu Umateris Liyaba. So what he's saying is that the din of Eishes Achiv Shaloya Balamo, initially we would think, is not a Korva issue at all. Because from a korva point of view, as we said before, it's not an erva in the context of ibum. El aydi da ayri bi yisur achva tananamiha to be kolmakor mishum korve achva asira v'hada tani kalasa. Rashi nami goris kain elu shapira shubedinu dilikadmi lekalaso mikam eishas achir shalai b'alamo klomar kivin de krovin Nakad ba'azil v'kaloso be'esh asachet shaloya balamo be'esh asachet me'imo lab mishim korba didei al srinamay haba b'din dinisne kaloso mekam e'esh asachet shaloya balamo v'adil e'esh asachet me'imo nami de kaloso chamir nami v'abal adamintkat kumre kibit alamati l'mitzvei korbi. Rashi said all these are exactly identical, they're all artificial, there's no hierarchy, but the kala isn't more, isn't closer, right? The Bali Tosis is saying, yeah, the kala is a closer relative. But one might have thought that the sister-in-law would be a closer relative because of the generation gap. The Ramban is saying one would have thought that the sister-in-law from the wife, right, is more karov, because that's a created relationship. That's a relationship which you entered into freely. Well, a Dvarav, says Ramban, so Klomer, the Achos, Ishto Nami, Kikrove Atzmo Dami, according to Rashi, we would say, oh, because Rashi is emphasizing that these others are artificial. What about the one right before, the sister? Why isn't she an artificial relationship? So Ramban says, oh, maybe he holds implicitly, like my idea, that by choosing her, right, that becomes almost like Krove Atzmo. Mishum de Bikidushi Atzmo, Mekarbele. Veinu Mekuvar, Miesh Gorsa Mekame Eshes Achiv Meimo, U Mekame Eshes Achiv Shalohoya Baolamo. Both, not just one, which would be a girsa, which would be consistent with Tosis's Perush, even though not his girsa. Okay, let me just take another. So that's the Gemara till here. Then the Gemara asks the question. I just want to start just so you'll know that the question is there, and then we'll stop in literally 1 minute. The Gemara says, in my area, the Tana Potros. Why does the Mishnah say that these Erbas are Potros? They exempt. Yeah, it's a strange word. You should say, listeni, ostros, right? That because you can't overcome the iser erva of kares, so you can't do it. Now for me, this is particularly important and symbolic. It's not just the Gemara asking a question about a difficult language of the Mishnah. Because I'm suggesting that there are two approaches to the Mishnah and to Yibum generally. One is that Yibum is an exception because of the chiyuv, right? And the question is, only can it overcome Isurim? So then saying Osros is a much more accurate formulation, right? As opposed to the other possibility, which is that the presence of an Erva, right, excludes the whole concept of Yibum, which might be the idea of Potros Mina Yibum. Oh, so here the Gemara is asking the question, my ear, you're trying to potros, listen to the Osros. Some of them are trying to say, oh, why is it a better language? So Rashi says, the mashma p'turo saying v'iboy v'yabim, right? Maybe you don't have to, but you could. Point to me, that's not Pshat the Gemara. Pshat the Gemara is, what is the nature of this din of error? Is it an isur you can't overcome, or is it a p'tur ehafka? Anyways, so the Gemara says, itan osras havamina osur liyabim aval nichlat skolza. I would have thought that there's no yibum, but there is chalitza. This is what I want to highlight before, that one of the problems I mentioned in the Mishnah is, it's one thing to say there's no yibum, right? Why is there no chalitza? But according to me, the answer is, it's perfectly connected to the language, meaning it's apka. There's no zika, there's no chalitza. Right? Okay. So let me just read another line, a couple lines quickly. Abamichatz chalitza, kamash malon, it's not true. Kamash malon, it's not true. The listening of Surah Lachlot, the Gemara says, we'll get back to this next week. Why don't you say the word Lachlot, Asura Lachlot? So the Gemara says, my Kavid, it's not Asur to do Chalitza, it's just meaningless. So that wouldn't be accurate. So the Gemara says, Allah, why not? If we allow the Drabbanon Chalitza, even if it's meaningless, people think you could also do Yibum and it'll cause a Mechshol. So the Gemara says, Kim did Malka Mitzvah Udasira. I'm going to skip that line now because that's important, and we'll read it next week. My area, the Tani Minachalitza Minayibum, listening Minayibum Lechude. Why don't you just say Potter Minayibum? So the Gemara says once again, Itani Minayibum Avamina Mechlatzcholza. Yibum Melomiyabma. I would say you could do Chalitza Naibum. Kamash Malan, and this is where I wanted to get in. Kol Ola Leibum Ola Lechalitza. Kol Shein Ola Leibum Ina Ola Lechalitza. There's a rule, Yibum and Chalitz are connected. But understanding this rule now depends on our two points of view. Because according to the view that says that there's no Zika here, then we have a much simpler explanation for the connection. It's not because Yibam and Chalitza are always connected, it's because both of them depend on one common denominator, namely the Zika. If there's no Zika, there's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza. The other way to read the Gemara is, there's a Zika, but there's a special din that you never have Chalitza if you don't have the option of Yibam, because there's a special relationship between Yibam and Chalitza. So I want to pick up on those two ideas next week.